Good morning, church. Are you there? I hope you are. It is British summertime, as I'm confident you're aware if you're already up and the clocks have changed. But what hasn't changed is our lovely cold weather. It's freezing. If you've been out already doing your allotted exercise time or whatever you've been doing, just popping out of your house, looking out the door, it's freezing. I'd just like you to welcome any friends that are joining us today that maybe not part of the church. It's so good to have you join us, and we're really grateful to be able to connect in this way in these times. I'd like to start with us just focusing in together on the Word of God and on really His purpose for this time. I think something I was praying earlier, how as a church and as God's people, we can sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. And in that position, we can receive something from him, not just his word, but his word is spirit and his life. And in Isaiah, it's a well-known scripture. It says, those who wait on the Lord, those who kind of come to him, looking to him expectantly this morning, expect him to give to us through his word, through his generosity, through his grace and mercy. They shall renew their strength. What a wonderful promise. I don't know if you feel like your strength is depleted in any way, but I believe in this time with Jesus together, listening to his word, we can receive a renewal, a reviving, a refreshing of God's strength. It says we will mount up on wings like eagles. And we need wings in these days. To be earthbound is actually very, very tough at the moment. But the things of God and the things that God wants to reveal to us give us that lift, that ability to see with his perspective and to actually have a heavenly mindset that can actually bring change into the earth in our day, which is what we desperately need with this national emergency and world pandemic. You will mount up. I just love to think of that this morning, that what we're doing together and speaking God's word to you, feeding you with the word of God, there will be a change of strength. There will be a coming up into the view of God, and that you will run and not grow weary. That is such an amazing truth. You will walk and not faint. That weariness won't kind of bring you down, but you'll have a vibrancy, a supernatural Holy Spirit, word given, Jesus given vibrancy. So let's pray together. I love to think of you all there. We, Pastor Andrew and I, are praying continually for you and for our nation and for all people who live around us. But I love to think that right now we can come to Jesus together and listen to his words. So let's pray together in our homes, as you're online right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you say, you promise that those who wait on you shall renew their strength. And Lord, each one of us, in our own strength, our strength is depleted. Our hearts could fail in these times, but Lord, you are the strength of our hearts and you are our portion forever. Lord, I pray for a strengthening of every single person who is listening to your word this morning. We believe with all of our hearts that we are in your presence, that Jesus, you're with us right here, right now, in this moment. And we thank you for the renewing of strength, the mounting up of on wings, the supernatural power of your Holy Spirit, giving us that perspective, but also that ability to soar beyond the natural realm of what's going on around us. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening the weary, lifting those who are down, and actually mending the broken. And we can believe you for that today. Thank you for removing stress and all the pressures that have been going on in all of our lives this week. Jesus, you are all that we need. And so thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We sit at your feet to listen to your word this morning and make it life for each one of us. Make it life for me. Wonderful. Well, I've been thinking, you know, a lot about, as I'm sure you have, how we are to see what's going on, how God wants us to handle everything that's happening around us, the new experiences, the new challenges and difficulties that we all, myself included, are facing. And our unique situations, you know, they're individual for each one of us. Your situation won't be the same as mine, but we all have a new challenge. I mean, I don't know, 2 months ago even, not even that, we'd never heard of this term social distancing. We'd never had the lack of freedom to just pop out and go for a drive or to just pop around and see a friend or hug a grandchild. And all of these things have had massive consequences, together with work challenges. Some of you are working so hard, and you guys in healthcare and Musgrove, gosh, we are praying for you. Some of you are in business and working so hard to keep things going, families working hard. Some of us have lost our work and are at home wondering what to do. And so these new things, this new season we've been kind of thrown into almost, it requires the grace of God. And I think the first thing that helps, and I trust it helps you, are the words of Jesus in Matthew 24. You can look it up if you want to later. Matthew 24:6. Jesus said that there would be times of famine, times when pestilence, which is a plague, you could even say coronavirus, would happen. As I've come to give you life in all its fullness. But he said these things would happen, and he spoke to his own people, and he said, do not be troubled by it, which is why I believe God has been speaking to us as a church about having no fear, dealing with anxiety, but also praying. This is the issue, to give prayer with thanksgiving, presenting our requests. Don't be anxious about everything, so that we are not troubled, even though, obviously, the days are in every need that we think about is almost overwhelming. But Jesus says, don't let it get to you. Don't let the stress and the panic get in you. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and mind. But because he said this, he actually said that that's not going to be the end of things. And I think sometimes we just need perspective to say, one day this will be in the rear view mirror of our lives. One day we will have gone through this and we can look back and it will be behind us and the clouds will part and there will be sunshine. But how do we handle this in this day? And Jesus said, actually, it's a time of good news. He said, in that context of international disaster, this gospel will be preached. And I love the perspective, the eagle perspective he wants to bring to us as his church, that actually the good news is the most important thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins and he rose from the dead and we are saved. And this gospel is to save the world. And that's what we're to be talking about. It's what we're to be preaching. We're not to be preaching judgment, a disaster. He said the church are here to speak and proclaim the gospel. And for me, that really helps, that Jesus already knew that this was going to happen, and he spoke about it in the word of God. And we can have comfort that the end, when Jesus Christ returns, which is why all of us need to come to peace with God through forgiveness of sins and faith in Jesus. The end will come, but right now it's a season of grace and good news in a time of desperation and turmoil for so many of us and so many others. And in hard times, The church has always done really well, the true church. If you think about Daniel in the lion's den, or just Joseph in prison, so many times of hardship in the New Testament, we read about the church going through persecution or trouble. In hard times, God's people grew. And there was a growth that went beyond the kind of superficial. Their roots went deep into Jesus, his truth, and his presence, having God with them. And the fruit, the growth, is exponential. It just goes crazy. The fruit of the underground church, when the church went underground in China and in Iran and different places all over the world, it has only produced a growth. And that is really how we can see what we're going through, which brings comfort and an eternal perspective that helps with all the massive needs that we all have personally. Paul knew about trials and tribulations, and I'm going to just speak a word that I believe is really on my heart from God about how to handle this time. Now, Paul, in the book of Philippians, if you have your Bible, you can have a look there. I'm going to read some really precious verses to the saints through all generations, and I believe they're really important for us today. Paul, he was in prison, and in those days, the Roman prison was really horrid. And the restrictions, the confinement, I mean, he wasn't free to do anything. He was actually in chains, and the conditions would have been dark and dingy, and he had needs. We know he was needy in terms of food and provision, because during this writing, the book of Philippians, he spoke about eventually a gift coming from a church so that he could, his needs could be met whilst he was in prison. But Paul is in this place of restriction. And however you look at what's happening, all of us have kind of have had our lives restricted in some way. I'm not just talking about the massive challenges with health and finances, but I'm also speaking about, you know, suddenly being shut into a very small space, not free to do what we've always been used to doing. How did Paul handle it? And if you read the book, the letter that he wrote to the Philippians, this is actually called the joy book. The one letter that actually is spoken of as being the joy book. You know that word in that scripture in Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul kind of was living with a perspective that he was saved. Yes, he was in a place he didn't like, but he was saved, and God and his presence, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, was with him in that place. And that's what makes the difference. Every circumstance can be changed and can be challenging around us, but the one person, the reality of God present with us where we are, is to bring a joy that actually is unconditional. It's not dependent on our circumstances and what we're going through personally, as families, as working people, and as people who maybe got needs and mortgages and all the rest of it. Paul rejoiced always. He found his joy in the Lord. But I've been thinking, and I often like to do this with scripture, about being in that place with Paul, if I was maybe a prisoner, a fellow prisoner with him, what would he have been like to be with? And I know that we're not in a literal prison, but it can feel a bit like that with all the social distancing and the stay at home message that we've been given and need to observe from the government. What would it have looked like and felt like to be around Paul, who was in equally a difficult situation like you would have been if you were a fellow prisoner? I mean, was he moods? Did he go on a mood swing? Did he kick the prison cat? I can imagine there was one. Did he kick out the cat? Did he vent his frustration and his anger of being in such a situation on the other prisoners? Or did he just sit and moan and complain? And or did he just hibernate, go to sleep and hope it would all go away? None of those things. We know that when we read the book, the Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, he didn't do any of that. He was rejoicing in the Lord. He was full of peace. And he knew the secret of peace with God is also connected to our relationships around us, the ones that we are in life with. And beloved, peace with God can only really come if we're living at peace in our families, in our circumstances. And that's why we must not allow the pressure of the situation to bring out kind of offense and anger and slamming walls or tables or whatever. And you and I know that it's unhelpful both for our relationship with God, our own peace, but also can destroy the peace of others around us. But also we don't experience God's presence. And Paul wanted God in that place more than anything, because he knew that Jesus was really his life. He'd served God outside prison, but now he was the same person with the same resources, Christ in him, to serve God in the situation. And if I could say anything to you, it would be your peace comes from knowing God is in control. Knowing that in this time of restriction, you can still serve God. You can live in an environment of peace, whether you live alone or you're for friction. But God wants us to live at peace and have the peace of God literally ruling in our relationships as well as in our inner person, our inner being. I want to zone in just on the one. I'm going to read verse 10 of chapter 4 in Philippians, just to imagine this situation with Paul. Peace, joy, but also there is this astounding scripture and promise that I believe is going to bring life and faith to you. And I would like you to receive it as if Jesus himself was speaking this to you. Now, Paul starts by saying, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that now your care for me has flourished again. Though surely you did care, but you lacked an opportunity. He just received a gift from the Philippine church, that this church knew that he had needs and they'd given into his to help him. And in verse 11, he says this, not that I speak in regard to need. That was about his personal needs. For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to have lack and I know how to have plenty. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then here it is, the secret of living content in all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Said, I've learned. And I don't believe he was saying this is theory. Like, you know how when you learn to drive, you kind of go through the theory of it. And that's important that you actually know the theory. Otherwise, you'd be dangerous on the roads. But Paul was saying, I've learned how to do this. I've learned to actually drive. I've learned to be content. In every new challenge, is a new opportunity to learn to be content. To have this lack of dissatisfaction and reaction to what I'm in. I don't know if you've learned, I have, that if you fight what you're in and you can't change what you're in, I mean, you can pray, but you can't get out of there. If you start to fight what you're in, things just get worse. And Paul was saying, I can't fight this. I'm in this place and I'm going to live out of contentment. I'm going to learn in this new opportunity to depend on another person to be content. Now, Paul did not say, I can do this. I can do this. Yes, I can do this. I'll get through this. Yes, we can get through this. That's a human dependency. That is self. And that is not Christianity. Christianity isn't about what we can do. Paul didn't say, can I do this? Which you and I might have been tempted to think over the last few weeks. Can we get through this? Can we do this? How will it look at the end of this? Paul didn't question, which often with that question comes doubt and unbelief. And the essence of the Christian life is faith. The life I live by faith in the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And so Paul, he knew that it didn't come from him to get through this. And it didn't come from doubt and unbelief. Otherwise, he would have been depressed, afraid. He would have been moody. He would have kicked that cat in frustration because he was only doing the right thing and he was still put in prison for the gospel. But Paul, he said, I've learned to be content. Yes, before you gave, I had needs. And it's interesting, isn't it? He was content before his needs were met. And he was content when he had stuff. Wow. Think about the reality of the Christian life. Because Jesus is our life, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That word strength means he infuses strength and ability and grace, every good thing, blessing upon blessing, gift upon gift. Just helps when the kids are difficult, homeschooling. When you don't know whether you can make ends meet. When you don't know what's going to happen to the people you employ or your loved ones or God is able to make all grace abound to you. And I believe this is the essence of going through this time. How can we handle this? We can handle it with his ability. We can handle it with joy and peace. We can handle it with getting on with others who we're not used to being with in a spirit of gentleness and a spirit of grace. I believe this is a time for marriages to really be refreshed and renewed, for relationships with children to be refreshed and renewed. But ultimately, I believe it's time for our roots to go down into Jesus, to receive all that we need from him. He is here. He is with us. He's in us. And his grace and power is more than enough for us to go through this. I'm learning, just as you are, how to go through this. I want to be living like Paul. I want this to be a reality in my life. Content, able to do everything. I miss people. I miss you. I miss worship together. I miss freedom. We've got challenges, you know, just the same as you guys. He used it to be fruitful. I believe with all of my heart that prayer can change everything, that the tide is turning through prayers and believing and speaking God's word over our nation. I believe with all of my heart that we can be a great witness in this time, seeing the gospel of Jesus grow and expand. Paul would have used online streaming if he could. He wrote letters, but I believe you can use any online platform like we are. We want to just get the word to you. Pastor Andrew and I just want to continue to minister to you. But I believe you can be a minister to others of the gospel, the good news, emails. I think you can use Facebook. You can use any platform that you have to communicate. Maybe even click the link on this and send it to a friend. Because God's word has power to save. And he has the ability to bring people to faith in this time. Paul used it, and his time in prison is still blessing you and me today. And I believe we can have a view on a harvest that in this time, God will be glorified and many will be blessed. One of the most difficult times of my life, I'll just tell you, and I'll finish with this. It's a bit longer this morning. I hope you're okay with that. But I went to the States serving the Lord. I was asked to go out and teach in a Bible college in Washington, D.C. for nearly a year. And in that time, I was given accommodation. Praise God, the lady opened her home. But the accommodation wasn't like the comforts of home. The furniture was a bit broken up. And they kind of used to forget that I needed food. So I'd sometimes never cross their mind that I'd need money. I couldn't travel because I needed somebody to take me to the church to work, church building, and then come back. And you know when you're fighting something, you've got all the wrong things going on inside. And I was probably not very nice to be around because even if you hold it together with your mouth, it's still going on the inside. And you know what I mean, don't you? And so God had to bring me to a place, and I praise God I got there quickly. Well, what can I do? I'm here. I'll trust God and use the time. And honestly, that bedroom, that seeming little space prison, became a place I'll never forget. I met with God. Joy. I'd never experienced joy. It was just phenomenal. I became so full of joy through the Holy Spirit, not because of anything on the outside. And I also saw things in the Spirit. I was like that eagle. And it wasn't kind of just to bring, oh, I'm a prophet to the nations, I'm going to speak. It was for intercession, for prayer for others. And God, what God showed me to pray for, it was amazing. And I know much fruit came out of that time for others, but for me, in my life, what God worked in me. Remember, rear view mirror. How are we going to handle this? Let's do this God's way, beloved. Let's rely on the one who is able to do everything that we can't do. He's able to do it really well. And so, as we finish today, that they would find grace. They would find the strength, the infusion of your ability in us, Lord, to handle day by day, night by night, whether we're on our own or suddenly thrown into a mix of circumstances we've never had before. May we all learn to be content. Because we can do all things through Jesus. Thank you that you strengthen us, your people, through this word today, this time together today. And we pray and speak blessing on your church, on each one. And we speak a blessing over our nation today, over our government, over our NHS, over all the people who are working for the good of others, Lord. And may we be a witness like Paul in this place. May the gospel of Jesus go out through us for your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I trust that you've received from the Lord today, and just really grateful you're tuning in and listening, because we can still do life together. As a church, you know that Sandra has set up miraculously, in my eyes, Zoom, so that we can connect as individuals and as connect groups. We still be church there for each other, and it's not just for you. It's also Zoom is also for you to have a ministry to others, to pray for, you get to know what's going on in their lives. So please do use this amazing resource. We've got to change the way we do church, and that's one of the ways we can change and be effective in the church. Pastor Andrew will be sending another mini movie, which I'm going to call a faith booster, midweek, sometime this week. And just get out there. Ask people online, phone calls, whatever you can do. Is there anything I can pray for you? They don't yet have faith, but I believe now's the time for harvest.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.